You are listening to the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. I'm Laura Palmisano. Mail-in ballots are out for special districts. KVNF's Jake Ryan looks at why these small government elections matter.
If I asked you when the next election was, most people would probably think of the presidential election in November, or maybe even the primary vote in June. Actually, the next election is in 2 weeks. It's for special districts. Special districts are governments, just like city or county governments, set up to manage one particular thing: mosquito abatement, fire protection. Delta County and Telluride are having elections for their hospital special district board. Ann Terry is the executive director of the Special District Association of Colorado. Although a board for the hospital district might not be as exciting as a presidential race, she says these elections matter.
You are electing local government officials that will run the government piece of the health service district. So they will make determinations of policy, such as the budget.
That can have big impacts locally. Special districts are usually funded through property or sales taxes. Voter participation in these elections can vary wildly, especially if a controversial mill levy is on the ballot. But even when it's not, Terry recommends voters take the time to consider the candidates.
I really encourage people to get out and vote. It's the easiest, most important thing we do as a citizen, whether it's at your local level, state level, or your federal level. But pay attention to the people who are managing your taxpayers' dollars.
Ballots are due by 7 p.m. on May 3rd. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A bill to move Colorado back to a presidential primary is expected to be introduced by the end of this week. Legislative leaders, the governor, and the chair of both political parties are behind it. Colorado is among the few states that still have a caucus system to select delegates for the presidential race. But leaders in both parties say the mechanics are convoluted, and Governor John Hickenlooper believes a presidential primary would benefit voters.
Hopefully it gets more people involved. I talked to a great number of people this year who didn't go to the caucuses or wanted to go to the caucuses and just didn't have enough time. If they can vote, it's a much easier commitment. A primary bill makes sense. And I realize it's going to cost more money, and we have to look at how we pay for that.
Party leaders also believe a primary could give Colorado more prominence and attention in the selection process. A bill that would force school districts to allow medical marijuana on school grounds is making its way through the state legislature. As part of our Capitol Conversation series, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the issue.
Joining us, we have Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel and Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. We've had medical marijuana in the state for a while, and last year, lawmakers passed a bill saying schools could allow medical marijuana on campus in certain circumstances.
It was a way of trying to start a conversation to see if they could come up with policies to allow the practice. And it's a very small number of students that are on this.
300.
Yeah, there are about 300 students who are on this. And not in every school district across the state. But anyway, only one school district out of the 178 in the state actually is talking about it. They haven't actually passed anything yet, but they appear poised to do so. The sponsor of the bill, Representative Jonathan Singer from Longmont, decided to up the ante a bit. And so he came out with a bill to mandate that. But to get the votes he needed, he kind of backed off a little bit, and he kind of somewhat mandates it. He basically says now school districts still have the option of doing a policy or not, but even if they don't do a policy, parents can go onto school grounds and bring their children these medications.
And Peter, talk about what type of students we're referring to. I know when I first just read the bill title, I'm thinking, wait, a kid can bring a joint to school and say, hey, I have a medical marijuana card, but that's not what this bill is about.
It's really funny you say that. I just got an email from somebody in Pennsylvania, actually, who saw the story and thought exactly what you just said, is that it's a bill to let kids bring marijuana to school. I think that that's a sign of this evolution that we're seeing on this, is that people are still wrapping their brains about it. No, kids are not going to be bringing joints to school. This is really specialized strains of marijuana that some parents have called a miracle when dealing with seizures for epilepsy and other conditions that kids have. The kids don't get high. It's usually like an oil. But that's the whole thing. It's this perception that's going around. And lawmakers themselves have kind of gone through this evolution. Lawmaker who I cover a lot, this Republican Representative J. Paul Brown from Ignacio, he said he's done almost an about-face on medical marijuana and pointed out his own niece who's seen benefits from it. So the conversation has shifted, which has allowed, you know, lawmakers to hold the districts accountable. That being said, it's Colorado, local control. They don't want to mandate to school districts what they have to do, and that's probably the biggest fight going forward with this.
And the biggest problem that the school districts have with this is because it's legal in the state of Colorado, it's legal in, I think, 23 states and the District of Columbia, but it's not legal federally. FDA does not recognize it as a drug, as a medication. So it doesn't fit into the same kind of thing. And so the school districts are afraid that if they allow medical marijuana on campus through an actual policy, that they'll lose funding, federal funding. And so basically they said to the legislature, okay, if you want to do this, then hold us harmless. Make sure that you're going to give us the money that we would lose if we lose it. Even though nobody's lost this, two states have already done this, but it's not really been implemented, as far as I can tell, in those two states. But then, again, nobody's lost any federal funding. But part of the issue, too, is that, you know, that's been the Obama administration and how they've allowed marijuana to sort of turn a blind eye to marijuana laws in the states. But we're going to be entering into a new era with a new president. We don't know what's going to happen with the next president, the next Justice Department, the next FDA. So that's where their concern is. I mean, beyond the general, there's a lot of people here who still don't like the idea of legalizing marijuana in any form, whether it's medical or not. So you put these two things together, and it comes down to just conflicting worlds.
And while it does have bipartisan support, lawmakers in both parties do have a lot of concerns about it doesn't go far enough or it goes too far. So it'll be interesting to see how this makes its way through the legislature and if it reaches the governor's desk. Thanks. That was Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
You've been listening to the regional newscast on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano.